Good to be back together. We weren't here last Sunday. Well, some of you were. We met in different people's houses and in different places, so I hope you got on well wherever you were. We've been going through a series. Michael started it 2 weeks ago, I think, called Opening Lines. And we're looking at the first lines that Jesus says to people. Usually every now and again we do a series, maybe 2 weeks or 6 weeks, and we either go through a book of the Bible or we take a particular theme. So this one is looking at opening lines, looking at some of the lines that Jesus says to people when they come to him or people he talks to. And the one Michael looked at 2 weeks ago was Jesus calling disciples to follow him, as far as I remember. That's right, yeah. That's good. So this week we're looking at a passage in John, chapter 3, verse 3. I don't know how it gets on to when we get into so I'm just going to read the passage before we start. We're going to look at the chapter of John up to verse 17. So I'm going to read the whole passage up to there, but we're mainly going to concentrate on the first verse. This passage has, anyone got the page number? If you've got it in the 989. So starting at verse 1 of chapter 3, within this passage is one of the most famous verses in the Bible. Anyone guess what it is? It must be born again. It does. It contains that and another one as well. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, John 3:16. So you may have heard those before. So let me read from the start and then we'll start into it. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you were doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus. "And do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." So that's the passage where the verse that we're going to focus on. It's going to be mainly that first interaction between Nicodemus and Jesus. So firstly, let's start at the beginning. Who is Nicodemus? It says he's a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, who's a member of the Sanhedrin, which is like the Jewish ruling council. So he's intelligent, had respect for Jewish scriptures. He would have been well respected in the community, well known, rich probably, and influential. But here is this man coming to talk to Jesus. This man who knows things, who is influential. But he comes to Jesus not in the daytime, but he comes at the nighttime. Why at night? Why come to Jesus during the evening? Undercover? Is he embarrassed? Does he want to catch Jesus out? See if he's really who he is at nighttime as well as the daytime? I think he comes at the nighttime because he's interested in finding out who Jesus is. But he's maybe afraid of being spotted by other people, people who might think that that was a bad thing, as a lot of people didn't like Jesus at this point. It wouldn't go down too well if someone with this respect or power be caught talking to this man who was causing lots of problems for the Jewish rulers. But he's interested to know who this man is, who Jesus is. Some people would argue that maybe he's sent on official business because he uses the word we have heard. But if he was sent on official business, he probably would have gone during the day. So I think it's a personal venture for him. The first thing he says to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. So he recognizes that Jesus isn't just an ordinary guy. He calls him a rabbi. He sees that maybe there is some truth to him. He hasn't asked Jesus a question as such. He's just basically acknowledged who he is. And what does Jesus say back to him? Nicodemus has just come up. He's just said, you are a teacher, rabbi. We know you come from God, for no one can perform the signs you've performed. And Jesus comes back with, truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Nicodemus didn't really ask a question. And Jesus has come back with something that doesn't connect with what Nicodemus has come to him about. So two things stand out to me from Jesus' response. What's Jesus on about? Nicodemus didn't ask anything. He didn't ask about being born or being born again. And secondly, what is being born again? What does that mean? So firstly, I want to just look at what it means to be born again. Some of you may have heard that word. You can go on to the next slide, I think. Some of you may have come across this before. Some of it might be a positive phrase. Some people, it might be a negative phrase. There's a few photos there are ones that come up on Google Images. Sometimes we hear of famous people who've been born again, people who've been in prison who have changed and they use the phrase born again. Maybe we think of like televangelists talking about being born again. Maybe we think of crazy people dressing up about being born again. Generally, it's associated with someone weird, someone you might have come across in the past. Maybe it's a family member or neighbor who was born again. And they keep saying that phrase over and over again. And what they're saying is true if you're a Christian. There's obviously a lot of negative connotations that come with this, but if you say you're a believer, that you follow Jesus, you believe in who he is, then you are born again. I don't know if you've ever asked that before. I've been asked it a few times. You're not one of those born again types, are you? I don't know what you say to that. Usually I try to establish whether they're wondering, am I like the conversation that Nicodemus had with Jesus, or am I weird and stand on street corners telling people about Jesus? Usually try to clarify what they're looking for before answering the question. But yes, I am. And yes, are anyone who followed Jesus born again? So what does it mean? It obviously doesn't mean physically born again. That would be impossible and traumatic. Jesus here is talking about a spiritual rebirth. When we become Christians, when we decide to follow Jesus, when the disciples decided to follow Jesus, it wasn't just merely giving up a Sunday morning to be at church or praying occasionally to God or even identifying yourself as a Christian. Becoming a Christian, being reborn, is fundamentally a new life, a new person, a whole new perspective on life. It's the beginning of something different. Jesus here is saying to Nicodemus, you're intelligent, you're a clever man, you know the Bible, but you don't know God. You don't know what it means to fully surrender to him. So why would Jesus say this to Nicodemus? Why would he answer a question that Nicodemus hasn't even asked? Nicodemus hasn't even asked a question. Just pause here for a moment. We'll come back to that. There's some great lines in the Bible, and last week when we were looking at a passage in Matthew 9, this came up again, and it appears a few times in the Bible. You might remember some yourselves. In Matthew 9, Jesus heals a paralytic man. He comes along to him and he says, son, your sins are forgiven, before healing him physically. And people see this, and the next line, after he forgives his sins, he says, at this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, says people thinking in their head about what's just happened. And the next line of the Bible says, knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, And it goes on, and he points out things that they're thinking in their head. There are lots of other examples about this. When it says that Jesus knew their thoughts, knew what was going on. And there's one of these lines just before the story begins, at the end of John chapter 2. The last verse of John chapter 2, just before Nicodemus comes to him, it says, he did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. Nicodemus came to Jesus in the night, said hello, seemed polite, seemed interested. He didn't ask questions, but Jesus spoke directly into his life. Jesus answered the heart question, not just the mouth question. Jesus heard what was going on in Nicodemus's heart, not merely in his voice. If you've seen that picture before, obviously not from the Bible, because they didn't have leather jackets then, I don't think. But for me, it's the man sitting there and Jesus speaking into his life, being real with them, having an open conversation. And at the time when Nicodemus came to Jesus, we don't know at that stage whether he knew he needed to hear about being born again or not. But Jesus knew he needed to hear it. Just like he did when he spoke to the woman at the well about living water. Jesus knew when he spoke to the rich young ruler, when he told him to stop making money his idol. Just like he did when he told Peter to step out of the boat. God knows the heart. He knows our hearts better than we do. We've touched on the rich young ruler before at Ignite. He comes to Jesus and says, what do I need to do to follow you? And Jesus says, go away and sell all you have to the poor and follow me. He doesn't ask everyone to do that. But when Jesus asks us to follow him, he asks us to give up what we have. And in that story, and sometimes you look at that story and you go, you don't know what happens. It says he goes away sad. We don't know if he follows Jesus or if that's it. He turns away and that's all there is. But in this passage, we hear again about Nicodemus later on in the book of John. And it's interesting to see the difference at the times of the day when he interacts with Jesus. You can go on to the next slide. So we know what's coming up next. But the first time we meet with Jesus, or that Nicodemus meets with Jesus, is in John 3, the bit we've just read. He talks to Jesus at nighttime, partly because he's embarrassed, doesn't want to be seen. He's interested personally in who Jesus is. And Jesus says, you must be born again. Speaks directly into his life. And we don't know whether that sentence or what Jesus said to Nicodemus has made an impact on him. But in John 7, a few chapters later on, remembering that Nicodemus was a powerful man, he's in the Sanhedrin, so he's in this ruling council, in a meeting where he stands up for Jesus. Not in a huge testimony way in what Jesus said to him or did for him, but he does say something. He makes a comment using the Jewish law to say that Jesus shouldn't be judged, that he should be given a fair hearing. Everyone else is probably saying, no, we need to get rid of this man, he's causing problems. But here's Nicodemus mentioning something, saying something to make people think. Slightly more bold. He's indoors. Not sure how accurate these pictures are. Go Google images. But he's indoors. He's with people he knows. He's not out in public. But he's making a stand. He's saying something about who Jesus is. Has Jesus made an impact on him? Something's happened for him to speak out. The next time we see Nicodemus is in chapter 19, right at the end of John. He's with another guy, Joseph of Arimathea. And at this point, they're taking Jesus down from the cross. And it says that Joseph and Nicodemus embalm the body and bring him to the tomb. Something has changed in Nicodemus. He's gone from approaching Jesus in the night, embarrassed and undercover, to standing up for him slightly in a place that he's reasonably comfortable in, to now interacting with Jesus, burying Jesus' body in broad daylight. Here's a leader in the Jewish faith, an intelligent, well-respected man, burying the guy who's caused them problems. And remember, Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead yet. So Nicodemus is putting himself out there, involving himself with Jesus. So three times we hear about Nicodemus in the book of John. We see him approaching Jesus for personal reasons to find out who he is in the middle of the night. Jesus spoke into his heart. He answered what was going on in Nicodemus' heart. And over time, we see Nicodemus slowly embracing Jesus, standing up for him, and ultimately burying him. That piercing statement, that thing that Jesus said to him the first time he met him, a question that challenged him, that impacted him, that ultimately changed the trajectory of his life, both here and eternally. So what do we take from this passage? What can we do with this? How do we apply it to our lives? We're not Nicodemus. We've heard about being born again. We've seen it. We've heard about it maybe from other people. How can we relate to it? The first thing I think that we need to think about is that Jesus knows what's really going on. Beneath the questions, beneath the answers of, I'm grand, or, ah yeah, everything's fine. He knows what's going on beneath the mask we use sometimes to hide what's going on inside. He knows these things. He knows about us, yet he still loves us. His love is not conditional on how we're doing. Jesus is the answer to our deep longings, to our deep fears, to our deep questions, to our deep sin, guilt, shame. Jesus knows what's going on and wants to embrace us. So remember that next time you're going through something, or maybe it hits home now. Jesus knows what's really going on in each of our lives now. When we finish up here, someone will come over to you and say, how's things going? And you may answer honestly. Most people don't really want the honest answer. They just want to hear you say, you're grand. What would Jesus say to you if he came up to you? What would he say that would impact us deeply in our hearts? The second thing I think we can take from this passage is it's a journey. Nicodemus' life wasn't changed straight away. We don't know what happened in the chapters between. But Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is transforming us. If we say we're Christians, if we say we're born again, if we say we're following Jesus. For some people, we might be like Nicodemus in the nighttime, approaching Jesus tentatively, wondering, who is this man? We're searching, asking questions. Click the next slide there. We're maybe feeling a bit lost, a little bit embarrassed by approaching Jesus, but I'd urge you to pray. Ask God to help you. Ask someone to help you to talk through who Jesus is with you. Or maybe we're like Nicodemus when he stands up in the Sanhedrin, standing up for Jesus. A little bit cautious, but maybe you're testing to see whether what you believe is true. Maybe you're trying to live out your faith around your friends or your family or your workplace or your school or your college. I urge you to keep going, keep asking those questions, keep making those bold stances. Pray and ask God to give you the words to say to people, to have the posture to serve and love the people. And then the last time we see Nicodemus is when he's attending to the body, saying to the world, this is who I am. I'm not hiding it anymore. Maybe you're at this place. Keep going. Nicodemus attended Jesus' physical body, potentially making a bit of a jump here now, but our job now is to tend his spiritual body, the church, the people of God. How are you doing that? Have you found your niche or your role or your gift or your part in this story? How are you helping and supporting the people around you? I think throughout this story, wherever you're at, we need to listen to Jesus and allow Jesus to speak into our lives through prayer, through Bible study, through thinking, through conversations with people, through conversations with people around us. Allow God, allow Jesus to speak into the brokenness, the unfulfillment in our lives, maybe the guilt that we feel, to the pride and arrogance that we have sometimes. Jesus knows what's going on in our lives. He knows beneath the masks, beneath the questions, what's going on. I want to just give you a moment to reflect. During the week, on Thursday evening, we've a Bible study, and we were looking at our personalities and looking at how we're made, and Psalm 139 came up. It's maybe a passage you've read hundreds of times, you may never heard it before. I want to just read through it, so I'd like you just to take a moment to reflect, to think about what is it that maybe God is saying to me? What do I need to hear? What do I need to act on? Where am I in my journey with Jesus? So I'm going to read this psalm, and then we're going to sing a song afterwards, which is based on this psalm. So just reflect and listen. Read along with me if you want, Psalm 139, or just close your eyes and maybe some word or some phrase jumps out to you. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am wonderfully and fearfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God, away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.